Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the conference call of Motherson Sumi Systems Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. V.C. Sehgal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I am really pleased to be here and leading this wonderful team. I welcome you all to this call to discuss an extremely historic moment for the Motherson Group, i.e. the implementation of the intent we announced in January 2020 on the reorganization of our business. I have with me today Vaaman, Gauba, Pankaj and Kunal, an amazing team, and please believe me, for every one of them, there are hundreds of people behind them who have done a phenomenal job. To take you through the structure of the transaction and also to answer your questions, hope you had a chance to go through the presentation. We will quickly provide you with the key highlights post which we can open the floor for question and answers. As you all know, Motherson Group over the years has established itself as a leading component manufacturer for all OEMs globally. We are today an 11 plus billion company that has grown at a CAGR of 18% in the last 10 years and 35% year on year for the last 27 years since we listed. We have 33 joint venture partners, operate over 270 plus facilities across 41 countries. Our endeavor continues to be to add value to our customers and to strengthen our position as a globally preferred solution provider. As referred to in slide 5, besides the three main segments of wiring harness, vision systems and polymer, Motherson has also incubated businesses in segments such as metals, IT, aerospace, health and medical, and other which are now also poised for growth as we embark on the next five-year journey. As an example, structural stamped parts is an exciting product segment that gives us increasing focus on lightweighting. Another interesting example is automotive lighting, which has seen a technological shift towards LED-based platforms and is now poised to significantly benefit in the medium term. A constant pursuit of quality, customer delight, and relentless focus on operational excellence has allowed us to create immense wealth for our shareholders, as depicted in slides 7 and 8. An investor who would have invested in the IPO in 1993 would have earned 1,630x return in 27 years. Having created a strong track record of expansion and success, we are now looking ahead for our next stage of growth. I will now let Vaaman take over from here and talk more about the reorganization. Over to you, Vaaman.
Thanks, Papa. Hi, everyone. Earlier this year on 30th of Jan, we informed all of you that in order to meet your long-standing demand for simplifying the group structure, our board had approved some broad contours of a group reorganization. Post this, we appointed a committee to work with various financial and tax advisors, investment bankers, and legal counsels to help us narrow down on the best structure which would address all the objectives that we had in mind. Namely, 1. Simplification of the group structure. 2. Alignment of interests of all the stakeholders. And 3. Creation of a strong platform for growth. Our current group structure is represented in slide 12. As you can see on that slide, Muscle is represented in the orange color and has today a portfolio of wiring harness, polymers, mirrors and elastomers. We have achieved a leadership position globally in these segments. SMRP BV, depicted in yellow, houses MSSL's international polymer and mirror business. This is held 51% through MSSL and 49% through SAMIL, which is depicted in red, and is the group holding company. In addition to holding 33.4% stake in MSSL and a 49% stake in SMRP BV, Samil has a 2,800 crore portfolio of many exciting auto and auto ancillary businesses. We have incubated these businesses over the last 10-20 years. These include automotive lighting, structural metal parts, shock absorbers, HVACs, information technologies, and etc. As an example, in the last 5 years, our lighting JV with Marelli has grown 4 times in revenue and 8 times in EBITDA to become a leading premium lighting supplier for the Indian passenger vehicle market. I will take your attention to Appendix 1, which has a lot more details on the Samil's key businesses, which we are very excited about to bring into the fold. With the proposed reorganization, we will bring together a wide array of products under one listed entity, which will lay the foundation for accelerated growth in multiple directions. We plan to achieve this objective in a two-step process. Step 1 will be a demerger of the domestic wire harness business, which we call the DWH business, into a new public listed entity. This entity will have a mirror shareholding as is depicted in slide 13 in color pink. Thus, for every one share of MSSL, one new share of DWH will be issued. As step 2, on slide 14, we will merge Samil into MSSL at a share exchange ratio of 51 shares for every 10 shares of Samil. The exchange ratio has been recommended by independent valuers PwC and KPMG, and its fairness has also been validated by independent investment banks DSP Merrill Lynch and Axis Securities. At the end of this process, the resultant structure is as you can see on slide 15. Post the merger, Muscle will hold 100% stake in SMRP BV along with a much widened product portfolio. Muscle will also hold a stake of 33.4% in the demerged entity DWH, which will also be listed. This will ensure that the deep linkages between both entities continue and there is minimum business disruption, and the entire group gains from the synergies of shared resources and scale. In a nutshell, we are achieving our objective through a win-win solution for all stakeholders, where A, there is simplification of group structure as we are consolidating 100% of shareholding in SMRP BV under MSSL, and also meeting Sumitomo San's long-standing request to have focused participation in the DWH business, which is a natural progression in our 37-year-old partnership. B, through this, we are aligning interests of all the stakeholders by bringing all auto component businesses of the group under one umbrella, and as a result, Muscle is also retaining stake in DWH. And finally, C, creating a very strong platform for organic and inorganic growth for the group through diversification of revenue mix as well as enhanced flexibility to raise for the capital for growth. With this, we believe we have fulfilled all what we had promised to you earlier this year, and perhaps even more. We have expanded the scope of the reorganization further by bringing all of Samil's exciting products under the one Muscle umbrella. I'm also happy to highlight that the merger is expected to be EPS accretive for the shareholders in the first year of merger itself. Now let me take you through some of the key aspects of this entity as highlighted from slide 18 onwards. On slides 19 to 22, you can see the expanded customer, component and country base. As you all are already aware, we have successfully executed a 3CX15 strategy earlier, which means no country, no component, and no customer to be more than 15%. And now, we look ahead at establishing a 3CX10 strategy wherein MSSL aspires to widen our component country and customer base further to de-risk ourselves. MSSL's new country mix on slide 20 showcases a balanced mix of developed and emerging market exposure along with an enlarged India presence. Product portfolio is enhanced by high growth segments like lighting, telematics, metals, etc., which will enable greater content penetration for us. This can be seen on slide 19 and also slide 22. Further, non-automotive businesses and ancillary services will help diversify our customer base even more. This can be seen on slide 21. Moving on to slide 23, you can see that Motherson has always strived to grow and establish itself as a leader through organic and the inorganic route. We have amply demonstrated this through the exponential growth of 100 to 3,000 times in the last 20 years for our wiring harness, polymers and mirror categories, achieving scale and global leadership. We have grown from 16 plants in 2000 to 220-odd plants in these categories across the world. Combination with SAMIL will provide access to newer product categories having multi-year business experience. These offer a global market opportunity of more than $200 billion for us to expand further. Non-auto verticals coming in provide additional growth and diversification opportunities for us. Another very interesting part is that MSSL's product portfolio will continue to be powertrain neutral. Key automotive industry trends such as the rising electronic content, lightweighting, premiumization, driver assistance, etc. will result in increased complexity, content and value creation across our product portfolio. The new products that are coming in are also benefiting from all the above trends, as you can see on slide 24 and slide 25. Coming to slide 26, you are aware that we are one of the best examples of an extremely successful joint venture with Sumitomo. And post this reorganization, we have the scope to replicate that success with some very marquee and high technology joint venture partners going ahead, such as Marelli, Valeo, Anisavata, Fitzmyer, and Matsui. MSSL will gain from the vast experience of such marquee joint venture partners and will further strengthen MSSL's position as a partner of choice for industry leaders across the world. And as you can imagine, there will also be tremendous amount of synergies that will be created when these JVs all come under the same umbrella. Moving on to slide 28, you are aware that SMRP BV has been a major growth driver for the group on the back of a very healthy order book, and they have made significant investments to grow the business. The business has shown a double-digit CAGR in the last 5 years, with steadily improving profitability, excluding the greenfield ramp-up cost. Over the past few quarters, we have made significant progress in stabilizing the greenfield, and we can clearly see that the worst is behind us. Currently, MSSL owns 51% in SMRP BV, which accounts for approximately 70% of MSSL's consolidated turnover. This shareholding will now become 100% post the current reorganization. A very important benefit from this can be seen on slide 29. Realization from all the value growth in SMRP BV will now be fully captured by MSSL shareholders versus only 51% that was being captured prior to the reorganization. This benefit is depicted in the illustration on slide 29. Finally, on slide 30, you can see that the combination creates a sustainable business model that has financial strength with a robust balance sheet and only a marginal change in the net leverage on account of the transaction. This will allow the business to capture enhanced growth as we move forward in our next five-year plan. Now I invite Pankaj sir to present the key highlights of the domestic wiring harness business. Pankaj sir, over to you.
Thank you very much, Vaman sir. Ladies and gentlemen, I will be presenting slide 32 onwards up to slide 42. We started the wiring harness business in India in 1983-84. Our first wiring harness order was for Maruti, what was called as SB308 and then 800cc model. Since then, we have maintained a leadership position in the Indian market. As demonstrated in slide 33, the domestic wiring harness business has significantly outgrown the industry growth. We have grown to nearly 4x in top line in the last decade as compared to industry growth of 1.4x. This has been accomplished on account of vehicle premiumization leading to content growth between 5 to 10% every year. This trend continues even today. We now have 23 wiring harness plants strategically located close to our customers' locations as shown on slide 35. I would like to point out here that post-reorganization, supply of wiring harnesses to Hyundai and Kia will continue through our joint venture with Kyungshin called KIML, which, since it's a joint venture not involving Sumitomo-san, resides in MSSL and not the domestic wiring harness entity. Today, we have long-standing and strong customer relationships across OEMs, customer delight being the bedrock of our sustainable relationships. We aim to continue to strengthen our position by supporting them in end-to-end product design and development. With Sumitomo-san as a promoter, we always had access to world-class technology. This will remain our competitive edge as we aim to harness the opportunities that the new upcoming trends in the auto industry offer, as demonstrated on slide 40. We have established best practices on sourcing and shared services. The benefits of this practice will continue, like in the past, on an arm's length basis as shown on slide 39. This will ensure least disruption in business and enable continuity of scale and cost benefits for both the entities. On slide 41, you can also see that this business has been a profitable business. Our EBITDA is healthy mid to late teens and is resilient to downturns. The resilience can be seen in FY20, which was impacted by slowdown and emission norm changes. Our ROCE continues to be very strong, underscoring cash generation potential of our business while we invest in high technology, but we have remained frugal. With this, I'd like to hand over to Mr. Sehgal for his remarks.
Thank you, Pankaj. As can be clearly seen, with this, we are laying the foundation and the stepping stone for a new chapter in our growth history, and we cannot be more excited about it. Once again, I would like to thank you all for being a part of this special call. The organization demonstrates our commitment towards taking actions that exceed the expectations of all our stakeholders. We truly believe that we have created a historic moment for the company and its shareholders through this reorganization. We'll be very happy to take any questions if you have any. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats on this landmark restructuring. One quick question on SAMIL. So primarily, there are three major businesses or two major businesses as we see: lighting modules and metal products. What is the roadmap for those businesses, considering that unlike our other businesses in the group, primarily wiring harness or plastic parts or mirror, where we are either number one or number two, how is our competitive positioning in these two businesses? And beyond these two businesses, which are the other businesses which you are excited about in SAMIL?
Thanks for that question. There are multiple businesses in SAMIL. We've given you a couple of examples already. In the lighting side, we are one of the largest lighting manufacturers, together with our joint venture partner, Marelli. The other business as well, if you see, there are exciting businesses such as Fitzmyer, where we make the entire cabins for off-highway vehicles. We have our joint venture partner, Anish Tawada, that is making high-technology compressors, which is, again, leadership position technology that all these partners have. We've incubated these businesses over the last 10, 20-year period. They're all profitable businesses. They are growing in a significant pace. And we believe with this, focus on the general environment of Make in India, et cetera, as well, they will really be propelled and pushed for even further growth as they continue to come out with these technology products for the Indian market. I also want to bring your attention to, for example, the joint venture where we had with the mirror segment with Schaeffler back in the day. This company was just under 100 crores worth of top line, but we went and did a global acquisition of Schaeffler's business globally. So many such different opportunities will present themselves once we have the experience and once we have the history of incubating these businesses, which gives us the confidence to go and rapidly expand these businesses. So there are about, in total, 2,700, 2,800 crores worth of top line of these businesses which are coming in. And we are very excited about their growth prospects.
Okay, sir. Great. Thanks. I'll come back in queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Binay Singh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Thanks for the opportunity. Firstly, could you share a little bit about your thoughts behind this? Like earlier, the plan was to add SMR PBV whole into the group, and now we are bringing the whole SAMIL into it. So why that's changed? Some bit on that thought structure behind the change.
Sure. So historically, yes, we first came to the board with just simplifying the SMR PBV structure. Good opportunity to bring the entire group into one, which will again achieve the three transactions, the three purposes that we want, which is simplification of the group structure, aligning interests of all the shareholders, and creating platforms for growth for all the businesses. And the reason why we want to do it now is of course, because Sumitomo San only wants to focus on the domestic passenger car business, and this will allow them to keep a very sharp focus on that business and bring in the new technologies required into the DWH business. So we will have created two very strong platforms for future growth for all of our ambitions in the automotive industry and as well as the non-automotive industry, and brings it all done at one shot. So this is a reorganization that we thought fits better as we go one time and prepare ourselves for the next 5-year growth.
Thanks for that. And secondly, when I look at slide number 30, in the SAMIL financials, it seems like the SAMIL EBIT has fallen by almost 70% in FY19 to FY20, which is much, seems like the decline is much more than what other businesses have seen. So could you tell us a little bit about why did SAMIL see such a sharp fall at EBIT level? Because I think this EBIT will be ex-SMR PBV, right? Because that will come below the EBIT for them.
Kunal and Gauba, can you take this one?
Yep, sure. Kunal here. Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
You're right. There was a decline on account of EBIT margin, partly driven by new CapExes that have just come on board. In the secondary, there was a large metals plant that we created. That's what's part of the reason why the depreciation has gone up. Not to say that the EBITDA margin itself had declined because of the headwinds that the market that we were having in the Indian market. Also, please bear in mind that what you are seeing on the numbers on slide 30 is the ones which are the unconsolidated. It's only the consolidated ventures of SAMIL. There is a large chunk which is not consolidated because these are either held 50% or not consolidated for control purposes, etc. And hence, when you combine all of that, the answer would look somewhat different. If you can see that the revenue here, which is around 12,800 crores in FY20, is around about 2,800 or 2,900 crores. When you consolidate everything up, and the EBITDA which you're seeing here as 120 crores will look like something like 360 odd crores, give or take.
Okay. Oh, that's helpful. And then lastly, this will go for a minority vote, right? A shareholder vote.
That's correct.
This will go for majority of minority. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Thanks for that. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Gupta from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Yes, hi. This is Amin from CLSA. My question is again, on slide 30. If I look at the PAT number also, the MSSL consolidated ex-DWH plus SAMIL is significantly lower than the combined B plus C. So is there some intercompany profit which is leading to this thing? If you can just explain, that would be really helpful.
Yes. Kunal, you are taking?
No, go ahead.
Because one of the parts which Mr. Vaman Sehgal explained, that by way of this reorganization, we are also bringing in the DWH, which as a separate entity is first being demerged into part of the entire consolidated entity. And SAMIL is holding 33% of the holding into Masal. So when we look at the share of profit minority interest, profit of associates will also include the profit, 33% coming from MSSL and plus 49% of SMRP BV. I mean, last year, because of the startup of the new plants, etc., that amount SMRP BV is negative, but the impact of the greenfield is shown on the other slide. In the previous year, you will see that amount is much larger because SMRP BV did not have the startup cost that significant in that year. So therefore, when we are consolidating these entities, so the share of profit which is getting here gets eliminated in the consolidation. Kunal, anything you would like to add on this?
No, that's right. And there are also dividend flows, etc., which will get knocked off as it gets consolidated.
Okay. Thank you. That's helpful. And my second question was on the valuation of SAMIL, which has been done to arrive at the swap ratio. So if I look at slide 56, I think the value per share of SAMIL is at around 512 to 519. And the number of shares of SAMIL in slide 54 is around 473 million. So is the value of SAMIL around 21,000 crores? Is that calculation correct? 510 into 473, or am I getting something wrong here?
I don't think you're ever wrong, right?
No, I was just trying to get the valuation metric which has been used to value SAMIL. I mean, so 21,000 crores, obviously revenue, like you said, is understated for SAMIL. Just trying to get a sense of that.
Look, mathematically, what you're saying is right. What you have to bear in mind that at the end of the day, it's the relative valuation that matters, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you think about SAML valuation, it will contain, 33% of muscle, it will contain DWH, and it will contain the 49% of SMRPGV.
Yeah.
Right, which is there on the part which you're swapping it with as well. Right. So
you should not
view it in isolation, but view it from a relative perspective.
Okay. Okay. Sure. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue for more questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Puneet Gulati from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Good evening and thank you for the opportunity. Just dwelling a bit more on SAML, if I look at the profit from associates for FY20, which is 3.6 billion. Is it fair to assume that most of it would be just the percentage share from the listed entity and 49% share of SMRPBV?
Sorry, are you referring to 360 or 3,600 million?
Same number exactly. Yeah.
Okay. No, the 3,600 million does not contain anything to do with SMRPBV or muscle. This is non-SMRPBV, non-muscle EBITDA. So this is in relation to the JVs and
This is the profit from of associates, right? And SAML would be incorporating 33% profit from Motherson listed entity and 49% from SMRPBV.
No, are you referring to slide 46?
No, slide 30, sorry.
Okay, and in 30, what are you referring to, sorry?
Profit of associates, which is FY20 SAML 3603.
That will include the share coming from muscle SMRP as well,
But would there be anything other than...
No, it will also have other share coming from the joint ventures like Magneti Marelli and many others. So, at an EBITDA level, there is a performance given at that, but most of the other JVs also contribute positively to this year.
But it will be negligible number if I were to just do back of
it
the
envelope. It is relatively a small number, but it is not a negligible number. So there is a difference between the two constructs.
Okay. And X of that, is it still loss-making? Is it fair to assume? Because your PAT is lower than the combined.
Last year, SMRPBV on a consolidated basis, when we have taken the minority share, there is a loss which is booked by SAML on account of that.
Profit of associates, right?
Yeah, so you are referring to that figure, you know?
So after that, there is a 2808 figure, which basically means your profit is lesser than the profit from associates.
No, which profit from associates?
The concern share, which is 2808, is the total profit of SAML, which is lesser than the profit of the associates.
But then we have a EBIT, then there will be a profit, there will be an interest cost, there will be a taxation, and this profit. So we have not given the entire range of the recalculation.
Okay.
Because the profit of associates is accounted after tax, whereas in between EBIT to tax, you have first a PBT for which you have an interest cost. Then from PBT to PAT, you have the taxation.
No, completely understand that. But 2808 will include 3603 plus something, right?
Yeah. So
that plus is a minus number.
Yeah, at a standalone level, because of the interest cost and maybe some impairment, there will be a loss. Because there could be an impairment also. So we can get on to that. FY19 balance sheet is already on the website. FY20 should also be there soon. But we are willing to share more detail and discuss with you because it's just to give you a high-level number, helicopter view. But we are happy to do a separate call on Samuel exclusive numbers also.
Yeah, no, no, no. I just want to understand this, whether it's a profit-making entity ex of the associates or not. That's all.
At EBIT level, yes, but there will be an interest
rate. At level.
We will come back to you on that.
Okay.
Because there are interest costs which could be higher. Because everything is in rupee cost kind of thing.
Right. And second, Kimal will be a part of the new combined entity, right?
Everything is now part of the new combined entity, including the joint venture with Sumitomo DWH. Because we have been hearing feedback from all of you. We will have something here, something there. So as Vaman-san explained in the previous session, so we have created an entity which will encompass entire group, including DWH. So in India, we will have two joint ventures, one for DWH with Sumitomo Sa, which is a public listed company, another joint venture, which is 50-50, Kimal. So on the wiring harness side, this is how the India map will be covered.
Okay, great. My last question is on the leadership. Of course, Saikal Saab and Norman, and you would be there. How would the leadership be structured between the two entities?
So I think I'll just take this very quickly. The leadership is already planned and done because most of the companies are standing on their own anyway. It's just that how do we group it? How do we do it? So there's a lot of discussion that's going on in between the group. And I'm sure that we have 3-4 months, we will be then coming up with the right answers.
Okay.
But there is no shortage of leadership in Madhusudan, as you know very well.
Yes, of course. Great, that's all from my side. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the lineup, Pramod Amte from CGS CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Two questions. Would you be able to give more clarity on slide number 53, where there is a service charge to the domestic entity? And also on slide 55, in terms of timeline of this demerger, in the sense it seems to be a pretty long one, and what is taking so much time?
Kunal, Gaba, who would like to take this one?
Yeah, I will take on. Which slide you are referring to? Sorry, I am moving
53
and 55. Yes, I think what is important is wiring harness is coming from an integral part of the group. In fact, as Pankaj explained, the foundation of the business has been the wiring harness, which started in 1983. And therefore, what is being now done is we are creating a separate listed entity. At the same time, there are certain group benefits which must be continue to be available in terms of enhancing the performance. And this is how you have seen the impact of all this in PKC or other wiring harness and businesses, what we have promoted, apart from what I'm focusing on the wiring harness side at the moment. So the leadership of the new entity will continue to get support as well as continue to get the whatever guidance or in terms of enhancing the performance. So therefore, there is a notion management fee charge which is being put, and this is the standard practice what we have, and it is very important because at the end there is a cost structure which is to be supported, and you people know how many questions I try to answer when you talk to me on the standalone employee process, etc. So therefore, the fee which is being proposed to take care of that. And this will run similar to the amount what is a royalty or a technical know-how fee for a continuous support being paid to Sumitomo Sa.
Sir, any benchmarks? Why 5.5% of sales? Why it wouldn't have been part of profit or dividends?
Yeah. First of all, 5.5 is not the management fee. This includes the shared services and the other cost also, including the travel cost and all that. Because today, what is happening is when we are taking out DWH into a separate legal entity, the threshold becomes much lower. So whatever the group support comes from the Mind, for example, or Mata or those, they will become a related party transaction as far as DWH is concerned. So when we talk about the quantum of 9.5 or 5.5, which is there, whatever, is constituting a whole set of services. So the amount of management services is definitely benchmark, and is in fact it is benchmark for our overseas entities also. So it's much lower. And you have the royalty amount appearing as a separate line item in all our balance sheets, and you will see that more transparently.
Thanks for the detailed explanation. And for slide 55, in terms of demerger timeline, which seems to be stressing all the way for 1 year, if I'm not wrong. So would you be able to help us understand that? Until that time, what will happen to the existing shares?
Yeah, Kunal, can you help me on that?
Yeah. So, look, there is nothing unique that is happening in here. Unfortunately, there is a lot of stuff that NCLT has to do. So what's been recommended to us by our advisor seems to suggest that there is a delay in terms of the time that it will take to take all this through from the respective approvals. There will be the SEBI approval, stock exchange approval, NCLT approval, lender approvals, majority of minority shareholder approvals, and so on and so forth. So just given the time horizon, just given the fact of the COVID-related issues that exist in terms of travel and the lack of ability to move things quickly, this is what's been suggested as the more likely time frame that it will take to get it done. I was only saying you may also want to note that the appointed date for the demerger will be 1st April 2021, from which point is where the businesses would be separated, assuming we finally get the necessary approvals for it, right? Which was also taken keeping in mind the timelines, and also keeping in mind from an operational accounting perspective, it's just easier to start it off on a fresh financial year.
And till that time, the existing shares will trade as it is, or how does it function?
Yes, that's right. It trades as it is.
Okay. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Podar from Nippon India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. So just harping on, on the slide 30, if you could, split the PAT of SAMIL of 280 crores into two parts. One is share of SMR PBV plus 33% of listed company, which is Muscle. And the other would be, I'm assuming, profit coming from JVs and other businesses. So what I'm essentially looking at is profit from JVs and other businesses of SAMIL, X of SMR PBV, and 33% of standalone Motherson.
Let us park this question. I come back. In the meantime, we can take other questions if you like. I will just open my relevant information from my computer and come back. Permit me.
So second is, could you also talk about capital employed in the combined entity? How much would be the capital employed now, and ROCs, ROEs, return ratios? Obviously, they'll be, I'm assuming, depressed because of SMR, PBB, greenfield losses. But some broad capital employed numbers, if that could be really helpful.
Yeah, we have tried to give the figures of the loan will be there. So that should give you a fairly good idea, because, when you have a reorganization of this scale, and you also have to appreciate going through this difficult COVID time, etc., people operating from home. So the first priority was to get home in terms of what we have promised you, because we had said that we would like to come back to you in 90 days. There were always questions, and we got into this. So surely, I think that is one part, and the accounting treatment nowadays is a bit more technical in nature. But from a business point of view, yes, we will have semi-balance sheet soon on the website as it's for 18-19 already. So you will have a fairly good idea of the capital employed which is there on a current balance sheet, how it gets reflected into the accounting matter. So what is more important is when we are going through this, you have the net debt figure which does not in any way go significantly up. It is within our comfort zone or within our financial policy. So taking that into consideration plus what it is today is not tomorrow. That is the most important part. When we are talking about profit associates or those things, so from an accounting point of view, they all get accounted as a joint venture. But kindly look at them, what they can bring to the table. And we can't be very direct, but at the same time, you have looked the journey of Motherson. Motherson, as a joint venture company, has brought so many more joint ventures, so many more, because the customers have loved our performance and all our initiatives have been driven by the customers. And with this, our content per car, and some of you have been asking us in the past that by getting into, when we say on an acquisition, this is how the structure will be on existing, what is existing in 2008-09 balance sheet, will continue to be there in MSSL. So the reaction comes, oh, then your content per car remains limited. While our products become rich in content, so our content will grow faster than the market, but multiplying it by more components was becoming a limiting factor. And when we bring SAMIL into it, you have to see how, and there is one slide which gives you how many more components and opportunity gets at it. So I think this should be the main driving focus. If we will focus too much on these numbers, I will have an explanation backup, so I'm not running away from that. You have to give me some time to get details to these numbers. But surely, I think we will lose the focus on what we are trying to present to you. I'm sorry if I don't feel offended, but my submission is let's focus on the business. Meantime, I'll come back on the numbers, what you are asking.
I can tell you a little bit briefly on the numbers. Out of the profit of associates, around about 2,900 would be the profit on account of Muscle and SMRC. And from FY19 basis, this number would be something like 7,400 odd.
So we lost the connection for the participant. We move to the next question from the line of Ronak Sarda from Systematics. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on the transaction. On slide 30, continuing, if Kunal and Gobaji can answer this, on the combined entity, we still have a pretty large minority interest. Does this pertain to any part of SMRPV, the Chinese operations, or what would this pertain to?
As you know, we have joint ventures, and we have joint ventures both at SMRPV, PKC also has in China, because those are the joint ventures we have inherited at the time of acquisition. So, there is other joint venture also as part of SMRC in Korea. So there are multiple of joint ventures, and our philosophy has been to do either by a joint venture or by ourselves and then go for acquisition. So in our numbers, you will have all the three pillars appearing, inorganic, organic joint ventures. Yes, you are right on that.
Okay. And just a clarification, if I see standalone the wiring harness company, which is part A, and if I add the wiring harness top line, the difference would be from what is reported for FY20, is that the intersegment or the components which the wiring harness business buys from MSSL in terms of tubes and connectors, that would be the case? So that's a pretty substantial amount, almost 1,200 crores.
Absolutely. And that, because not just the connectors or many wires and many other parts also. Yes, you're right.
Sure. And the final question, at Samir level, I mean, would you have the overall EBITDA number if we include all the JVs? Would that be readily available with you? Right? That's the final question.
Yeah. Kunal, do you have that number or do you have that number? Kunal, we have that number in the full number of EBITDA of JVs, joint ventures.
So the Tamil EBITDA, which is 126 crores, if you add the unconsolidated JVs there.
That will be around about 360-370 odd crores. That's what's there on slide 40-something. Sorry, that's on slide, yeah, that's on slide 46.
Oh, the 360 crores.
Yeah, the 360 crores is only in reference to, sorry, just to be clear, the 360 crores is in reference to all the JVs and operating subsidiaries. This actually does not take into account the management charges, etc., that exist.
Okay.
So I don't have that figure as to what that number is, unfortunately. But because I don't have that 10-15 close to that.
Okay. So, and the sourcing and shared services arrangement, which you have highlighted on those two slides, are these for, I mean, does this include anything which has been entered into post this restructuring arrangement, or this is something which was status quo earlier and this has just been highlighted for the shareholders' details, or anything entered to it into now post this restructuring exercise?
No, they have been there for many years.
Sure. So this will continue as such.
I mean, don't hold me responsible if we.
No, of course.
No, hear me out, Philip. If we have 20 more parts which are getting localized in the last 6 months and 20 more getting localized in the next 6 months. So, I mean, we do a lot of localization, as you know. So, but as a concept, as a fundamentals, these are there for at least I have been in the groups since 1997.
Sure.
Like rubber parts, we would have done about 5-6 years ago. So these are there as a venture. That's the backbone.
Of course. That's just what I wanted to understand. Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry, just to be clear, the only new piece that's coming in is just the rental cost.
Okay.
The land and building is retained in Masal itself because it was complicated to transfer that with the number of land parcels together with the stamp duty implications of doing it and getting it done in an environment like this. So we thought it is best to keep the land building in Masal itself. So there is a rental charge which has been assessed by Knight and Frank independently, and that's how it's been structured.
Okay. And is this already incorporated in the summary financials for DWH?
Yes.
Okay. So the EBIT numbers there would include all this? Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jiten Doshi from Enam Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Jain Saab, congratulations to you and your team for a wonderful restructuring that was long overdue, and I think this is a part to creating further value.
Thank you.
I have just two questions. One is that, does SWS have a right to increase its shareholding in DWH as they go forward?
So I think for the next 2 years or so, there's going to be no change because it will take about a year to do this. And then there is, for 1 year, there is a clear understanding that we will not be selling or buying shares. After that, I think it could depend upon Sumitomo's this thing. They are not somebody who's very desperate or something like that. So I think we have enough time to discuss what is the best way forward, and we will then move in that direction. But I think as far as Madison thinking is, I cannot talk much about Sumitomo, sir. But as far as Madison's case is concerned, I think the shareholding is quite fixed and rigid. We would like to keep our joint venture going. It's now 37 years old, and hopefully we will do at least a 50. And then after that, I think we'll leave it to Vaman and the next generation to move it.
Sure. So would DWH only focus on India, or would they look at any other country at a later stage in terms of wiring analysis?
No, they would only focus on India, and that's the reason why that was the basis of the joint venture setting up in 1983, if you remember. So they are going back onto their focus area, which is wiring harness for domestic. They want to support India. You know, with God's grace, they are the largest in India, so they'd like to consolidate on that. Plus also, I think you have to understand that in the presentation also, there it is there, they will focus on the new technologies that have to come in, the new kind of connectors and things like that, which has to make the wiring harness lighter and yet, you know, introduce strength into the wiring harness side. So I think it's very focused on India, and I don't think they would like to go outside India.
Sure. And my last question pertains to the return on capital employed, which in the case of DWH is not much higher than the overall muscle. So when this demerges, what would be your new parameters for growth, return on capital employed, and consolidated dividend payout, which you normally always have been giving us a guidance, long-range guidance, as well as you have been always over-exceeding in many years. So what would be those criteria, since the larger part of the ROC has come from the domestic wiring harness? Would you have a new sort of a new benchmark set at 25 or 30%, or any number you can provide us?
No, no, no. We will not go to 25 or 30. Don't put these thoughts in my people's mind. We are going to stay with 40% ROCE. And I'm very pleased to tell you that, you know, the Miller Company is plus 40. PKC is almost getting there. It's, I think, if I'm not wrong, Gaba, it's about, what, 26, 28, 23, 24, something like that.
Yes, sir. On the last, it got impacted 23-25%. Because of COVID impact, it's in March quarter for China as well as for U.S.
And I'm correcting my...
But in that range, you are right.
Okay. And I think all of the companies together will come in. You know, the new joint ventures that are coming into this business will make a great focus on India. You know, a lot of people think that with the domestic wiring harness business going out, we will have virtually nothing in India. But I would be pleased to inform them that that's not the case. In fact, a lot of the joint ventures that have come into new SAMIL, as you call it, the new muscle, will be having an India focus. And they will do very well because they are very, very profitable companies.
So this demerger, does it change your sort of vision to attain a higher growth on a sustained basis for the new market?
Which why completely, I keep telling it, top line vanity, bottom line sanity, cash and max reality. You've seen our results. The team has done a phenomenal job, isn't it, in the last results that we've just announced. The amount of cash that they have built in made the company very, very strong. So our focus will remain at 40%. We will now, dividend policy will remain 40%. We have given the highest dividend in March, 49%. Baba, please correct me if I'm wrong, because, you know. Also, I think the turnover and all that, you know, we will be having a vendor, investor conference somewhere around end of September. quarter, so September or October, we would then like to invite all of you. And then all the people, the whole team group will do a e-meeting with you because I'm sorry, normally we'd love to call you, invite you and show you, touch, feel what we are doing. But if everything is fine, we would still do that. Otherwise, definitely e-meeting with every vertical leader going to make a presentation and tell you. So, three basic points for you. 3CX10, we will now want to bring our this thing from 15% down to 10. So, 3CX10 means no country, no component, no car company, more than 10% of our equity. The turnover and results. And the second thing is, again, that the ability to give you a very nice target. I've already alluded to it in a little bit of other calls before. And, of course, stay with 40% ROS and 40% plus dividend.
So I have no doubt that you will achieve it as you have always been doing so. And wishing you all the best, and thank you very much for simplifying our structure. And congratulations again, and all the best for the next coming years. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Shah from Edelweiss Securities Limited. Please go ahead. Mr. Shah, there's some. We lost the connection for Mr. Shah. We move to the next question from the line of Akshay from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead. Mr. Akshay, your line is in talk mode. Kindly go ahead with your question.
Hello.
As there is no reply from the current participant, we move to the next question from the line of Nikunj Gala from Principal Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, hello everyone. So my first question is with respect to the, you know, the rationale, you know, one of the rationale or key points which you mentioned that Sumitomo want to focus on the, you know, India DWH business. But so just even after this transaction, Sumitomo would be holding approximately 17.7% in MSSL. And so any, you know, point or any comment which you can give on that?
Like we said, we have an agreement that at least for 2 years and 1 year after listing, the shareholding both partners will maintain. Of course, after that, Sumitomo-san is free to do what they like, but we will be discussing with them during that time. And their focus is the DWH business. They've supported and they have invested every time we've done any private placement or anything like that. So we understand that, you know, at some point in their life, they will exit that. But we will manage it and it will be in a stable manner. And we said, that there is at least 2 year period before any of that happens.
Okay, sure. Thanks for that. And my second question is with respect to, you know, Samil's valuation. You know, if I just see, you know, as an independent, you know, entity, if I just want to see the Samil's profitability versus, you know, approximately 24,000 crores of value which you have given to Samil. So can you just help us with what kind of, you know, valuation methodology you have used for, or any assumptions built in for future? To arrive at 24,000 crore valuation for Samil.
I think Kunal, you'll have to
as Vaman alluded earlier, PwC and KPMG provided their independent reports around this. I again want to reiterate before I tell you about the procedure that this is a relative valuation, so please bear that in perspective. They adopted methodologies, you know, which range from your DCF to income multiples to trading multiples and so on and so forth, net book value, asset value, etc. So I guess they triangulated through number of different days. So did, I guess, the fairness opinion providers, which is Bank of America, Axis Bank, as well as Kotak for Samuel Bose. They also went through a similar process in some fashion to reach to these conclusions. What you have to again keep in perspective is this is an EPS accretive transaction within the first 1 year of just getting consummated, which in some fashion will tell you why, you know, it's potentially fair or more than fair. Also, as I alluded, it's a relative valuation, so please bear in mind that a large chunk of Samuel valuation is coming indirectly from Muscle itself, whether it is on account of the 33% they hold in Muscle, whether it's on account of the 49% in BB, or now the demerged DWH as well, which will be part of Muscle Smile and now will be 33% owned by the new Muscle. So please bear that in perspective and don't necessarily look at it on an absolute basis.
Are you seeing the current financials where FY20 would be more of a not normal year, and if I just see FY19, if I take that earnings, I just unable to understand how it would be first year EPS accretive from that perspective, because our Motherson would be trading at 20x multiple on a earnings rise, and what we are valuing is at on an FY19 would be more like 30x. So, I was just not able to understand how it would be a EPS equity for the first year.
I guess it's a complicated thing to explain on a call. So we can do this separately.
Sure.
How FY20, for example, also can be done. But having said so, just again, please bear in mind. Samuel itself is actually, parts of it is already there in Muscle. So if you're valuing Muscle in a certain way, you will see on a relative basis Samuel in the same light, right? So if you believe in where Muscle is, let's say 20x, 30x, whatever that number is, because 33% is owned by Samuel, there is a direct linkage to the Samuel valuation, right? And similarly, at whatever valuation you guys are considering BVS. So, the delta difference between all those parts which are already there in the public domain and the incremental part is really insignificant. So if you think MSSL is going to grow much faster than, the dilution that we're talking about, that's how it will be EPS accretive.
Okay, yeah, sure. Okay. Thank you. Thanks for your time, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Sir, I wanted to check if you can give some color on Samuel, because, there's a big difference in performance between FY19 and FY20. So some thoughts on, if there were any items or reasons for weak performance, and how should we look at FY21 or 22 for Samuel?
So I'm sure Kunal and Gaba will.
Kapil, I think the swing is coming from SMRPBV. So as if we will look at, say, 33% Muscle share, which was 5234 million in 1890, is down to 3919. And SMRPBV had a profit of 2244, and last year in 20, it is 939 loss, because this is after accounting for all the startup, the loss at Greenfield.
Okay. And for the EBITDA performance of Samuel, any color, sir, over there?
that I will be
requesting. Yeah, so I'll come on to that. So one, I'll direct you to slide 29, which will tell you how SMRP BV's performance has moved between the last 5 years. And obviously the pain of the greenfield ramp-up costs are being seen in the profit piece, which right. Also we have negated and shown you, had it been not there, what would have been the impact on the profits, right? Now, needless to say, but obviously as we move forward, and as Vaman alluded earlier in his comments as well, that we are looking at a significant ramp up on the, you know, let's say the turnaround of the greenfield facilities that we have in the ensuing year and continuing going forward. So you can see the delta gains that are likely to come through if those becomes reality. Right, which we are at least very, very confident of. So that's what 29 is going to tell you. If you think from SAMIL's own portfolio perspective, between 18 and 19, obviously it's got hit on account of you know, some of the headwinds that existed, the CV market, etc., which is where some of our exposure on the metal side there was hit as well. I think if I remember that right, I don't have the full details right now, but I don't think there has been any other significant impact other than probably the metal side. In fact, I would think the rest of the JVs did better, but that gets difficult to visualize if you think from profit. Maybe the other way to think about, I'm just thinking while I was speaking, is if you look at the profit of associates, and if you take out Muscle and SMRP BV from it, in 19, this number would be around about 450 odd, and in 20, this number would be around 600 odd in terms of profit from associates, which are not from Muscle or SMRP BV.
Okay. Okay. Sir, is it possible to share some details or some summary of the independent valuer reports?
Yeah, the independent valuer report will be put up, I guess, with the rest of the exchange approval process, etc. It will go to the stock exchange within CDN, and then the decision will be out.
Okay, by when can we expect that?
Week or two. Within the next couple of weeks or so.
Okay. Right, sir. Thank you. That will be all.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Kotari from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thanks, sir. Congratulations, Transaf, and the entire team for completing this infrastructure and making it very simple. Probably shareholder friendly as well. My question is, with reference to the growth opportunity over next 3 to 5 years, would you like to give some color that with this entire strategy now complete, how do you see in this environment the growth opportunity, and with the new entities and segments and joint ventures also coming into fold, do you see more opportunities and probably higher probability of closing the deals at the right valuations?
Well, thanks very much. I think what is important for us to try, forward-looking statements and things all that, but when you will see the kind of top-line target that we have set, the bottom line we have just told you is going to be 40% growth. We are not going to change that target. I think you will be pretty excited, as we are. We believe that this particular pandemic that has unfortunately taken over the world will leave us with multiple requests to take over companies. But also, I think, people will find that even India, we are bringing in some of the best technologies back into Motherson Sumi. you know, when we talk about tool rooms, we're talking about lighting, we're talking about especially, you know, when we talk about Fitzmyer and things like that. We look at Valeo, we look at Anistivata. I mean, we can just keep on going. The kind of joint ventures that we bring in tremendous amount of value to Motherson, as you know it. And the domestic thing is also going to grow very well, as you can see. Sumitomo is only keen on that particular thing. The total solution is trying to put everybody's concerns down and actually telling you that this is going to be much more comprehensive. You know, up to now, we have a SEI CMMI Level 5 software company that was outside this whole particular thing. We brought the software company also into this particular thing, so that you have about 2,000 plus people which are going to really support this company globally. I think if you go through the entire gamut that we are trying to put together, and I think we are trying to give you a very solid company which can take care of not only itself but also develop very, very strong this thing in the world. Yes, we will have multiple chances to acquire companies. We would not, you know, the June thing has already passed, so I can't make any of this thing, otherwise go by and everybody will tell me, Mr. Sehgal, you can't. So I'm not going to speak about it. But I'm just saying that you will see that, you know, the teams have done a phenomenal job. You can imagine what our results were in March 31st. You are already aware of that. So I think that get up and go is a very strong thing in Motherson just now. Vaman, do you want to add?
Yeah, I just want to bring your attention also to the new industries that we're coming in. You know, seeing the progress that Motherson has delivered in the auto component industry, we're getting inundated by customers in, like I mentioned before, in the aerospace industry, in healthcare, etc. There are really asking us to go after more opportunities, and really bringing this all together, one platform will give us much better access to capital markets, much faster ability to go after some of these acquisition opportunities, which will really propel some of these divisions itself into multi-billion dollar verticals. So setting a target of, you know, 35 billion plus or whatever number we finally come and decide to we tell you, but it will be somewhere around that region. We need to have one platform that is agile, that's able to, you know, react very quickly and has the public attention to be able to go and do deals that will again propel the growth that we've been able to showcase. And if you see all the joint ventures, the majority of them have grown tremendously. If you look at the appendix slides, you will see that they've grown not only in top line but in bottom line. And there's going to be more opportunities that's going to come together with the joint venture partners for us independently and for all these verticals to grow. So bringing them all under one umbrella will give us a flexibility, will allow some of these joint ventures to piggyback on each other's resources, not having to spend a tremendous amount of capex to go after businesses because we already have the presence in so many countries, so many customers, cross-selling. I mean, to really hit that sort of a target that we're imagining for 2025, we really need the flexibility and nimbleness to go after this. And it can't happen if we're in two separate entities and having two all of that. Everything has to be under one umbrella.
Hey, Vaman, I think you've got a very, very important point that you're trying to put forward to these guys, that, you know, the ability of how Motherson became global. Most of my collaborators are very big, but some of them are not that big enough. So they are really looking forward to working together with us in global markets. So I think it's a joint cross-selling, globally cross-selling, and as well cross-pollinating each of the companies in this, in all over the world. You have 272 facilities. That is at least 27,000 opportunities for you. That's the way we look at it.
Sure. Great, sir. Wish you all the best. Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nalin Gadiwala from Tata AIA Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
At the outset, congratulations to the entire team. I just wanted to understand the numbers better. So question for Gaurbhaji. So this 5.5% management fee that is being charged on DWH is right now reflecting as income in FAML?
First of all, I clarified in the other question that 5.5 is not a management fee, because that is a total cost, and that will also cover, because today we have the common resources which will be shared between domestic and that. So an allocated portion of that is also included in 5.5.
I understand.
So this is with larger part of this is within MSSL. Some portion may be for the mine software, which will also become a sibling for, which will become a subsidiary of the new muscle, but software is supported. Mr. Sehgal explained it.
Okay. Yes, sir. Certainly not. Because 5.5% of DWH will be around 217 crores. And when I see the EBITDA of SAML, it is 126 crores.
Has nothing to do. But see, when I am doing this, these are the services which will become common. Now, once it becomes a common, and then one company has to charge to other and vice versa, it becomes a related party transaction from a legal point of view. But from a cost structure point of view, nothing changes. Because we are not trying to create a duplicate of cost structure in both the companies. So we will continue to have the shared services benefit of these services. The whole idea was to be more transparent and tell you upfront that we will continue to be as lean as we were yesterday. So by doing this, we are not going to increase our cost. We will continue to be cost lean on that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you have hit it that, you know, the whole idea is to bring efficiencies and improvements in the DWH. So that management fee could be lower, but you would have saddled with much more duplication of costs, which can be shared, and hence bring in more efficiencies. That's how you should look at it.
Yeah, over 22 facilities, at least in India itself, or something like that, Baba, correct me. And, you know, just the management, the HR, the lawyers, every state has its own legal this thing over there. I can give you the complete, the complications of India. So India is not one rule all across India. It's, believe me, multiple laws, multiple...
So I think I should rephrase my question, because the same slide also mentions that incremental intercompany transactions will be 2% of revenue. Now, where is that sitting? That is in MSSL or in SAML?
Yeah, that is in respect of the there are existing land and premises on which the muscle factories are there. So that is a substantial amount, because you know, if we start transferring all the land and buildings, apart from the cost what we will have, apart from the qualification we will have each year in the CARO report, saying the titles are not held by the company, and the management time we will spend. It's a joint venture, and somebody said Sumitomo is continuing to hold 17%. But the idea is not to shareholding, the idea is the focus of the business. Thanks for the understanding. I hope I have tried.
This explains. So most of it is already in MSSL pro forma that you've shared.
We have given complete explanation of how we have carried out to prepare those pro forma accounts. So that we are very transparent with you how we are arriving at these numbers.
Appreciated. Congratulations once again to the entire team. Thank you so much. That's it from me.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Akshat from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Can you ask Kunal to answer my...
Mr. Akshat, your line is in talk mode. Kindly go ahead with your question.
As there is no reply from the current participant, we move to the next question from the line of Chirag Shah from Edelweiss Securities Limited. Please go ahead. Mr. Chirag, your line is in talk mode. Kindly go ahead with your question. We move to the next question from the line of Nishan Vas from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations to the team. Kunal, I had a small clarification on the SAML valuation. So I would presume that the peer comp analysis and the DCF is more for the listed space. So SAML would have been transferred either on NAV or book value basis. Is that understanding correct?
I don't want to comment on how the professionals have done it, but you know, I'm presuming they would have looked at a combination of all the different parameters for all the different businesses. What they finally applied in what business, whether they applied NAV on one or you know, multiples on one or whatever, I think it is left best to them. Difficult for me to really say which one they've done. But as I've always referred, please view this from a relative perspective. It's not necessarily the absolute as much because, you know, whatever you use in muscle is has a corresponding impact on SAML and vice versa.
Yeah, absolutely. Second small data clarification, if possible. Sir, you talked about the ROCE of DWH. Could you shed some light on the MSSL standalone net DWH ROCE?
I said, sir, you
highlighted that DWH rose. So just wanted to know if you had it handy to shed some light on the standalone X DWH rose.
Standalone X DWH rose. We have not calculated that number, but we can. Give it to you. That's not a problem. But we have the standalone number, EBIT and everything because only the turnover changes. Of course, in this we have accounted for Ind AS 116, including on the performa rentals, what will be charged based on the night and flat report. Which means that EBIT also reduces to the extent of depreciation and capital employed also goes up. There, which will have a double count because there the rentals will be there. We can work that out. I think from the balance sheet as well as I can show that. That's not
sure. Sure. Then on the and just a question on the obviously the consolidated portfolio has become extremely attractive and quite large. So just could you shed some light either Dantab or Vaman in terms of let's say future M&A out of India, because obviously we can see you doing joint ventures in some of these attractive component segments which have high value additive scale both globally and India. But would these also signify that you would probably go out on these businesses from an M&A standpoint globally as well? Specifically say lighting per se or shock absorbers, whichever you might want to shed some light on.
Yeah, of course. I think together with our joint venture partners and depending on the opportunity that comes, Motherson is looking to have global ambitions on these businesses. Of course, you know, in some places, we have to go together with our joint venture partners. But the new industries that I bring your attention on, those ones we are free. We do have global ambitions on all of them. And we already have a lot of opportunities on the table to make those businesses quite meaningful size. We told you in the last couple of years, you know, that we are already building the teams, we're seeding these businesses, and in the last 2-3 years, we really have now got some experience into this business. We've also broken in, we've got some customers, we've got some orders, and we now expect these to really ramp up and go exponential as we create one platform for their future growth.
Yes, definitely, and I'm sure this is going to propel more growth. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prashant Kotari from Pictet. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So first question from the standalone X DWS business. This did pretty well in FY20. So it seems that the standalone business was dragged down by the wiring harness business only.
just explain why this business was so resilient in FY20?
Pankaj, you would like to take or no, I should? Because it is the domestic market which had the most negative impact. The market went down by 24-28%, while our turnover did not go down, but at the same time had an impact because, as we were discussing in the past, we did set up few new facilities which were not utilized during this period as such on the domestic market side.
Sorry, so the domestic market went down, which impacted the wiring harness business.
Yeah.
So, why the other businesses did well?
Other businesses did well because the new investments were made more in the wiring harness side.
Okay. And the PAT number that we see for standalone XDWH is higher than the EBIT you had in FY20. How did that happen? Is there some other income which is in between there?
Sorry, when we are doing the rentals, I mean, if you are talking about the performa accounts being presented here, the accounting of the performa basis rentals, it gets into the lessee books based on 116. Where you take it to depreciation and interest, whereas in the books of lesser it remains as an other income.
Sorry, my question is the EBIT in FY20 was what, 458 crores, and the profit was 594 crores, it was higher. So, which means that between EBIT and profit there were some positive line items, despite whatever tax that have been paid. So, just trying to understand how this.
Yeah, that is a dividend income from the overseas subsidiary. Sorry.
Okay.
Because right, in the quarter four, we had a dividend income as well as in quarter two. So, that is the difference between the two. I'm sorry, maybe line was not clear or I did not got it correctly first time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. V.C. Sehgal for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. I know that our transaction is going to be having a lot of questions, but we are absolutely open and we have no issues in answering the questions that you have. I think the valuation and everything has been done by some very, very good companies and lawyers and advisors, and we believe that it's a fair thing from their side. I don't know how much we can answer what their plans were, how they valued or whatever, but we have a lot of time. We would love to listen to more questions from you if you want. We are all willing to carry on, but since there are no more questions, we would like to say thank you very much and have a good night.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Motherson Sumi Systems Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.